1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. In this message, we are going to read the fabulous Psalm, Psalm 73. But before we begin, my friends, I want to encourage you to become and to remain nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So Timothy had attained to good doctrine by being nourished up in the words of faith. For us, that would mean the written word of God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6 says, if thou put the brethren, Paul instructs his understudy Timothy and us today, if thou put the brethren, that's the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ, in remembrance of these things, that would be all the things found in Holy Scripture. And that's what we're doing here in this message together, is we are putting the brethren of Christ in remembrance of these things, of the words of the Lord, in particular of being nourished up in the Word of God every day, which is good doctrine. And it is something to be attained to, again, 1 Timothy 4, 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Minister simply meaning servant, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy 4, 6. Now, in order to attain unto the knowledge and understanding of good doctrine, which is the Word of God, we must be nourished up in those words, the words of faith. And that's how we become established, rooted and grounded in Christ, in good doctrine. Also, like a wise virgin, heaven-bound saint, staying and remaining in the Word so that the Word is getting into you as you get into it, is essential to enduring to the end. We will recall in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, that 10 virgins set out to go to the marriage of the bridegroom, and yet only 5 made it. Only 5 kept oil in their lamps, or their vessel, if you will. And that's a picture and an illustration of remaining in the Lord after He saves you, which is essential to final salvation, by remaining in vital union with Him. That is, to remain in an obedient and abiding relationship with Christ. That's Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Jesus said to those who were saved, John 15, 1 through 6, that they must abide in Him, and as they do, they're going to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's the result of abiding rich in fellowship with Christ. And then He finishes in verse 6 of John 15 by saying, if a man, He's speaking to those that are saved, does not abide in Me, he's going to be cast into the fire. Ultimately, falling away is absolutely a possibility. Jesus said there would be those who believed for a while, for some length of time after they were born again, they're going to believe, and then in time of temptation, they're going to fall away. Why? Because they did not remain in the Word, and so the Word was not remaining in them. They didn't remain nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That's 1 Timothy 4, 6, our main verse so far in this message. And we're going to read Psalm 73 together. What a beautiful example of the importance of remaining in the Word, remaining nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Now, with the advent of social media, we have so many people that are probably, most of them, very well-meaning, that want to encourage us in the Lord. And sometimes that's biblical and sometimes it's a mix, right? Sometimes it's not biblical at all. But it's one thing to have a mere human being, even a brother or sister in Christ, giving us encouragement. And yet it is another thing to get our encouragement, our spiritual nourishment, straight from God, directly from the King James Bible. And that's what we're going to do here as we finish this message. We're just going to read Psalm 73. What a beautiful psalm. I'm often reminded and quickened and read Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. Now, I have somewhat of a vast variety of chapters and passages that I like to go back through in my daily study and reading of the Word of God, and this would be one of them. It's kind of easy to remember because you just flip the numbers. Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. Many of you are well acquainted with both of them, and there are many others. I'm just saying these things to encourage you that maybe you would want to remember certain passages, certain chapters, to remind your heart of by rereading them, by receiving spiritual nourishment afresh when you read them, so that you can be, quote, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, 6. Psalm 73, beginning in verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, Israel meaning his people, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My footing, my feet, my direction, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, does he see us? Are we really under his sight or not? Behold, verse 12, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, the psalmist says, and here's where the turnaround, the revelation comes in this chapter. Verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, in other words, is this all worth it? Is serving God really worth it? Because the psalmist had been beholding all of those around him who prospered, who had seemingly limitless money and were just enjoying life. Verse 15, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. I got back into the presence of the Lord. And that's what happens when we get into the Word. It gets into us, and it helps us see things from God's standpoint, from an eternal perspective. In other words, I beheld all these things, and it anguished me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. In other words, he saw things through the Word that he was attaining to by reading and studying and in the presence of God, he began to understand that all the things that you and I now have more readily available than he did, because we have the whole 66 book canon of Holy Scripture to be nourished up in the words of faith and of eternal life, that we know that in the end, and that's coming soon, the wicked, whom the psalmist speaks of in detail in this wonderful chapter, Psalm 73, their end is coming. And like the rich man in the 16th chapter of Luke, though he fared sumptuously while on earth, he died and went to a devil's hell, and he was suffering immediately, and 2,000 years later, he's still suffering the anguish of the domain of the damned. He's burning in hell. from which he shall never escape. He couldn't even, and still to this day, and never will, be able to cry out and get one drop of water to cool his tongue. And Lazarus, the man of God, was in comfort. And 2,000 years later, he's still in absolute comfort from God, because he chose on earth to serve the Lord and not himself and his carnal iniquities and appetites. See, so that's the pivot point here, verse 17 of Psalm 73, where the psalmist, after being tempted to be envious against the wicked who, or about concerning the wicked, who fared sumptuously. They had everything, it seemed. But then he was reminded through a fresh reading of Scripture, perhaps, and being in the presence of God as he went into the sanctuary, the presence of God. Then understood I their end. Then did I see what was really transpiring and the ultimate conclusion of where the wicked were heading as opposed to the righteous. Verse 18, surely thou did set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. See, he prophetically saw by the Holy Spirit the destruction of the wicked, what lied ahead of those who made themselves rich in this world instead of the next. Verse 19, how are they brought into desolation? So he sees the future of the wicked of his day with two words so far, destruction and desolation. How are they brought into desolation? Like the rich man, the once rich man in Luke 16, how are they brought into desolation as in a moment? Look, instantly, they are utterly consumed with terrors. There it is. They're going to burn in hell. They're going to be consumed by the fire and the brimstone of a place called hell, which will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. Notice, consumed. They are utterly consumed with terrors, horrid, horrible suffering from which they shall never escape. Then he continues, verse 20, as a dream, when one wakes up out of a dream, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. That's perhaps concerning how he was viewing things before he went afresh into the presence of God. When we go into the presence of God through the word, through lifting our hands and our hearts and our tongues in praise and fresh thanksgiving and repentance to the Lord, he opens the eyes of our understanding to see the real score, the totality of things, as only he can do, the end of things, the eternality, the eternal perspective of what's coming for the righteous, no matter how they suffer on earth, as compared to what's coming for the wicked, no matter how they flourish and seem to prosper on earth. So foolish, verse 22, was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. In other words, I remain with you, Lord. He announced afresh his allegiance and loyalty to the Lord, his vital union with Christ. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Now that's a truth. And of verse 24 of Psalm 73, as he's winding down, we have about four or five more verses to the end of this chapter. And the end of Psalm 73, as you're going to see, is absolutely incredible. And you can peer into, read and meditate and even perhaps memorize some of these last final verses of Psalm 73. Notice he says, thou shalt guide me, that is in this life, with thy counsel, that is my word, the word of God. Psalm 119, same book, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that's how God guides his body, the members of his church, his people, his disciples, his little flock, Luke 12:32. He guides us with his counsel. That's his word. That's the very thoughts of his heart, his counsel. Psalm 33:11. God has recorded in his word, as we're reading right here, these are the very thoughts of his heart on paper, tangibly, so that we can be nourished up in those words of faith and eternal life. So thou shalt guide me, that is, step by step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, right? Psalm 37:23. So here in verse 24, Psalm 73, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Many today speak about being, quote, unquote, led by the Spirit, but many of them are not grounded in the Word, and therefore they're either intentionally or not intentionally, but still erroneously claiming to be led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit who gave us the Word of God is never going to contradict His own words. His words are settled in heaven forever. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Jesus said His words would never pass away. Even though heaven and earth is going to pass away, Jesus' words will never pass away. And that's found in Mark chapter 13, verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so we're talking about the importance of being grounded in the Word of God, which is the counsel of God. There are many words, especially in the book of Psalms, that the psalmist uses interchangeably that are the written Word of God. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, or thy written Word. And that's the primary way God leads His individual disciples and His body as a whole. It's easy to say, the Holy Spirit told me this, or I'm led by the Spirit. It would be more appropriate, and it would reveal a groundedness, to speak of the Word of God being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Anybody can claim that God is leading them, and it gets concerning when you have people claiming to be led by the Spirit who are not rooted in the written Word. So he says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, thy word, and afterward receive me to glory. See, that's a picture of our lives. We're treading down the narrow path that leads to eternal life, and few there be with us who enter in thereat, right? Matthew 7:13-14. And ultimately, afterward, he's going to receive us to glory, or into eternal glory. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Now this goes back to what we initially began to talk about concerning getting our spiritual nourishment, if you will, from social media instead of directly from the Word of God, directly from God Himself. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire but beside thee. So the Lord was the first love of the psalmist, the man after God's own heart. And he's the first love, the first priority of all who truly are known of him today. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth. In other words, in this life, I'm frail. I get misfocused on the wrong things, as the earlier verses of this chapter reveal. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Those that don't stay in vital union, abiding fellowship with Christ on His stated terms, which is His written word. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. They're going to hell. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. Now, if it wasn't possible to go a whoring from thee, that would be the same as departing from the Lord, not abiding in Him. Notice he's going to destroy them, for thou hast destroyed all them. In other words, they're going to perish, because he just said that they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed them that go a whoring from thee. In other words, if you don't endure to the end, you're going to be destroyed. You're a spiritual adulterer, an idolater, a fornicator in the eyes of a holy God who has called you to be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16, to remain in Him, to continue, abide in vital fellowship and union with Him. The last verse of the chapter, verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. That's exactly what we're talking about in this message. Nothing, my friends, ever replaces personal Bible reading and study. Nothing will ever replace that. You can't wake up and get on social media in the morning and read the sweet little things that people are telling you. Many times they are telling you half-truths. They're promising you things without the condition that God puts upon any situation to obtain His promise. And so you're not getting the pure Word of God from the King James Bible. You're hearing what other people are saying, which you should take with a grain of salt and take it for what it is, whether I'm writing it or you're writing it or somebody else is writing it. It's still not God's Word. You can know when you open the King James Bible, if you're an English language person, that you're getting the pure Word of God in all of its glory, in all of its rawness, all the truth of it, without having to worry if somebody, some mere man, is leading you correctly or misleading you, his words or her words. You don't have to worry about that. When you delve into the Word of God, you know that you're getting the message of God straight from heaven. But it is good, the psalmist finishes, for me to draw near to God. And in the context of this chapter, that would be so that he was walking with the perception of heaven from God, not his own carnal imaginations, as he beheld with his physical eyes all the prosperity of the wicked. So that's why, one of the many reasons why it's good that he said for him to draw near to God. First of all, he's being nourished up in the words of God directly from God. He's seeing things from an eternal perspective, right? From God's perspective. Then he says, I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to unite our hearts in the name of Jesus to fear thy name. We pray with the psalmist that we would seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face continually, like the psalmist said, that we would be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, that we would attain to good doctrine through the study, the reading of the Word of God, and encouraging other of thy people in the same, in Jesus' name. Please give us eternal perspective, God. Let us see things from your eyes and your perspective and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.